So welcome to our annual Christmas Day service, whether you be here in person or online. We join today with Christians around the world to hear passages, to sing praises to God, and to partake communion together. And if you are here today, we have the table arranged at the back. And if you're online, please make yourself ready when convenient. This season of Advent in which this day sits is a time of longing and waiting for God to come. And I wonder, have you been longing and waiting in these last 2 years? In this time of the pandemic, we are in quite a difficult time. It's been a long and wearisome period. Waiting for more things to be cancelled, perhaps. Waiting for things to happen. We have faced and continue to face fear and loss and changing goalposts. It was just a few days ago that we had to turn up here in Victoria with masks indoors. We didn't know that a few days ago. So it's brought home to us the fragility of life being human and this uncertainty as well. Yet we are here in this time that we find ourselves claiming that our God is a God who comes to us, even in the midst of pandemic anxieties and even in the midst of a wounded and damaged world. This season in the calendar, and especially today, is a day we celebrate and read and sing the profound reality of the incarnation. That is God's radical choice to be profoundly with us in the act of becoming human, becoming a child. As a poem we'll hear later on says, there's this downward movement from the magnificent into a damp, cramped, earthly place among the shivering sheep. This first Christmas story speaks also to our current anxieties as well, of light coming into the dark, as we'll hear from the prophet Isaiah. So as we move towards the communion table, I will first invite Phil Van Dyke to the front for the opening prayer, and you may remain seated for the prayer. And immediately after that, we'll hear two readings. First, from Andrea, who will read Isaiah 9, 2 to 7, and then Philip Kennedy with Psalms 96. And please sit back, listen, follow along if you like, as we rehearse these great anticipations from the prophets. And then after that, you're invited by Randall to stand for our first hymns. So I invite Phil Van Dyke for our first prayer. Thanks.
Morning, everybody. For the opening prayer today, I'm going to read a poem by David Tenson. This has been known to be read out on the fourth Sunday of Advent. It goes, his face pressed against her breast. So this is what he looks like, the one the prophets spoke of, the one the angel offered. Her eyes catch Joseph's gaze. Mary whispers, he looks like us. Yahweh looks like us. His turned up nose, now hunting for milk. With trembling fingers, she does her best to flick open the mouth of God, pulling his head in closer to her chest. Closer to her heart. In this way, God receives his first meal in a stranger's home from the body of a teenage Galilean. Swallowing and slurping like a hungry lamb, the memory of every event leading up to this moment courses through her body. Tears of relief cross her olive cheeks. and fall upon her newborn. As Joseph now strokes her brow, she closes her eyes, looks up to the heavens, and catches herself giving thanks to God, who now lays in her arms, Emmanuel, God with us.
Good morning. I'm reading Isaiah 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O kindreds of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
Morning, everyone, and what beautiful, encouraging readings are those. And thank you, Phil, very much for that glorious poem that you shared with us at the beginning. A couple of songs to reflect those readings. The first, The People That in Darkness Walked, followed by Joy to the World. And straight after those two songs, we have three more readings. A reading from Luke that Ruth is going to bring to us, a reading from John 1 that Jeff Miller is going to read to us, and he will also share with us another poem called Descent by Lucy Shaw. And after those three readings, we will sing together Hark the Herald Angels Sing, reflective of the readings, and O Word of God incarnate, also reflective. And following that, Matt will join us again to lead us into communion.
Luke 2, 1 to 20, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesarea Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had let them go and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has been happening, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Reading from John 1, 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who believed him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father. Now I'll read Descent, a poem by Lucy Shaw. Down he came from up and in from out, and here from there, a long leap, an incandescent fall from magnificence to naked, frail, small, through space between stars, into our own chill air, shrunk in infant grace to our damp, cramped, earthly place among all the shivering sheep. And now, after all, there he lies, fast asleep.
The story that we read out in Luke 2, read by Ruth, tells of anxiety and fear was a normal human condition for those participants. They all seemed to be greatly affected by it. We read in Luke 2 that the angels first announced the wonderful news of our Saviour being born to whom? The shepherds, the night shift workers, the minimum pay people freezing in the fields, the low-paid nobodies. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." That's the first phrase of do not be afraid. Then we hear in Luke 1 when the angel announced to Mary, an unmarried woman, also a nobody in that society, and she is told that she is somebody and that she'll have a child. She says, "How can this be?" And then in Luke 1:30 it says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favour with God.'" Also, Mary's husband, Joseph, we read when he found out his fiancée was pregnant, out of marriage, not a normal thing, he decided to quietly divorce her. And then the angel this time appeared to him in a dream. And it said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home with you as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And then a fourth account. We read in Luke 1 also to an elderly childless couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Their hope had almost died, probably turning towards bitterness and anxiety of infertility. And then the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. And it says in Luke 1, "When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid.'" And later Elizabeth had a son to be called John. So the coming of Jesus, the highly anticipated one, God with us, came in the midst of this fear and anxiety. The questions would be running through the accounts of these people. Will I be somebody? Am I nobody? Do I matter? And then from that to, can I escape this fear, this difficulty, this anxiety? And the message from the angel, from God to us is, do not be afraid. Which is also a message to us, for us who are chosen as well. And the passages in Luke, and in Luke in particular, show that God comes to the left out ones, the disadvantaged, the left out in the cold shepherds. I assume it was a cold night in the northern hemisphere that time of the year. These low-paid workers with no status, these are the first to pay homage to Jesus. Not the dignitaries, not the ambassadors. There's this fantastic turn in the story where the first to hear about it is these lowly nobodies. And we also have the left out on the edges, Mary, a young woman in her society, pregnant. The left out on a limb, Joseph, who's in a tricky situation. And the left out of a blessing of a child, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then we also read that God was left out as well. Left out of the inn, being born in an animal farm, an animal barn. And this story tells us that this is the places where God comes to us. And these are the people that God comes to, the nobodies, the left outs. And he says, fear not. In the invitation to the communion table, we are reminded that God not only comes to us in these difficult situations, to those that fear they don't matter, but he also comes and gives himself to us. The one from on high comes low. And as Jeff read out in the poem, from magnificent to naked and frail. God in Jesus didn't come by might or coercive tactics, trying to overthrow the oppressors, but he came in submission and in humbleness. And as we shall sing later, his birth as a human led to his death as a human as well. These two are linked. The child Jesus will grow to an adult and give of himself. And that is real power. Real power evidenced in Jesus giving himself and signposted to us today by the bread and the wine. So I like to read Luke 22. When Jesus invites his disciples later on to partake of the bread and the wine, and we'll pray for the elements. And he took bread and he gave thanks to it and broke it. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you very much for the table set before us. We thank you very much for this time when we can come together to rehearse and recall this magnificent story of you coming to be with us, descending, to become a child, to be human, and to give up his life. We thank you that we have these pictures of God coming into the world, naked, bloodied, being born, and also leaving the world for us, dying, also naked and bloodied, giving himself to us, which is the bread and the wine represent. Father, we thank you for the encompassment, the encompassing story that brings together the whole of the world under Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And we thank you for the way in which he comes, humble, submissive, giving up his life, a turning on its head of what power is about. And so we pray that you consecrate the bread and the wine before us today. The bread representing your body given to us, given up, nourishing us, and the wine, your blood shed for us, cleansing us and inviting us into a full, rich and open relationship with you. So, Father, we thank you for this and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you to, maybe we'll start with this side of the room to, at the back, grab your elements. Then we'll come back together so that we're in front of the camera for everyone. for the Zoom people, then we'll take the elements together. So if we can have the back row, grab your elements, and then we'll, when we're all ready, take it together. What a joy it is to have this together today. The bread, Christ's body given to us. And the wine, Christ's blood shed for us. Randall will now lead us in our final song and a benediction. This final tune is, I think you said, is a new one. Maybe it's an old one with new words, or maybe it's a new one with old words. I'm not sure. But Randall's going to run through it for us so that we can get the tune, and then he'll lead us in the final benediction. Thank you.
Thanks to everyone who's made this service possible. It's been a very rich and very encouraging, inspiring and sobering time all at once. Our dear Father, we want to thank you most of all. We thank you, Father, Son and Spirit, for your purpose that was set in motion before the material creation even happened. And we thank you, dear Jesus, that you came as one of us. As Matt reminded us, naked and bloodied as a baby at birth, and leaving naked and bloodied at the cross. And we thank you for those incredible paradoxes that you have left us with. And pray that as we celebrate your coming this day, that we would bear in mind the fullness of those paradoxes, the big picture, and the glorious picture in the future when everything will be put to rights and the whole earth will enter into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We long for that, we yearn for that, and we thank you for that coming reality, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As a benediction, this is the Christmas blessing from the UK, written by Cara Efi. Let us go from this place proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of the Creator, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with you this Christmas and evermore. Amen.
Amen.
God be with you.